And hey again, welcome back to another segment of the 10-Minute Producer. I'm Mark Margulies of Benmar Radio, joined as always by Vaughn Kaufman, producer extraordinaire. And we are going to talk a little bit today about, well, getting carried away. Now, how many of us have gotten carried away in our life with many, many things? But we're going to talk about getting carried away with your creativity. Vaughn, how are you down there in beautiful, sunny Florida?
Not in snow. So that works out really well.
Can't say the same here.
I'm in shorts. It's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah, getting carried away, huh?
We're going to talk about getting carried away with your creativity. So what happens is you sit there and pound yourself on the back for how brilliant you are and how what a wonderful creative spot you made, and it falls flat as a pancake, and the client comes back and says, no, we're not really interested in renewing. It was a great spot. We loved it. Everybody I know loved it, but we didn't see the sales that we wanted to. And that kind of, you know, it takes a pin to your balloon at some point, and you say to yourself, well what went wrong? I must have been the audience. He didn't run the right schedule. It couldn't have been the spot. Well, maybe it was, and you just didn't realize it. So we're going to attack that today. And I think, you know, you have plenty of experience dealing with people who have done that. I know you've been to dozens of parties, of awards events, and producers all get around, and the talk goes something like, oh, did you hear my spot for Fred's Automotive? Man, did I work on that? I was on a, you think you had a great, did you hear my spot for Phil's Music Store? Oh my God. I was so proud of it. I put that on my reel. You know that? So you hear those conversations, but producers never get together and say, hey, I put that spot together for Phil's Music Store and their sales went up 22%. That's the key to the making a commercial that works for everybody. It's creatively strong. And sales-wise, it's powerful. And that's what we're going to talk about. So, Vaughn, I'm going to get you started off with my first question to you. And that's going to be just what I brought up here. What about the fact that we sometimes lose the horizon, that we forget that we're not reaching people we need to reach, or that we're not emphasizing what that client wants emphasized? And we sacrifice all of that because we're so wrapped up in our creative. How do we get around that?
Well, first thing you got to figure out is the creative warranted? One of the neatest things that happened to me in radio, I hate to say it a lot because it sounds like I'm breaking my arm, patting my back, but it's happened quite a bit. and we're the salesman who's on a manic high because they came back after a couple of weeks of running a spot. And the client's like, he was so excited, he added $40,000 more to his quarterly budget. That's wow. That's the coolest reward and award there is for a creative guy. I mean, I've got a whole wall full of plaques that, you know, that's just something else to dust. Never made you a dime. It just makes you feel good. but what it comes down to when the guy comes in and he goes, you know, I want to extend my buy because this was it worked. That's the ticket. But there's more than just the ticket. This is the hard part. You have to understand the balance between being creative, being uber creative, or just being straight ahead. And that also has a lot to do with, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Their budget. How much are they going to be on the radio? Are they going to be buying for a couple of days? Are they going to be buying for a couple of weeks? Are they going to be buying for a couple of months? And is it something like when someone comes to me with an annual, that's when you go, oh, this is going to be fun. Because now you've got time to make their advertising work versus the guy that says, you know, I've got 15 coffee cups to sell. Oh, by the way, and take it from you in a lecture you gave once, they're 15 grosses of coffee cups. So, it's a problem. So you have to figure out the balance, and that's how much are they running versus what the client really needs. I can't tell you how many clients I've talked off the cliff when it came to creative because they wanted the bells and the whistles and the bangs and the boobs, zing, zaps, and 15 voices and a chorus singing hallelujah.
Sure.
And when it was all said and done, it's like, no, you're only going to be on for a week. Let's get straight ahead, because straight ahead kind of cuts a lot better than big creative. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a big, big area for big creative. But at the same time, you've got to be able to know the difference. And that's the call.
Let me piggyback on something here for a second, if you don't mind. How much interaction with the salesperson, because you brought it up brilliantly, when the salesperson comes to you and says, hey, I can't tell you how thankful I am what you did. The client just called me and they want to up the contract another $40,000. I mean, that's, yeah, we just sit there and we go, yes, that's what we're after. But how much interaction with the salesperson themselves ends up being a part of the process for you when you're producing and when you're thinking about a great creative idea or a great creative presentation for what they want to accomplish?
Well, now, see, here's where you get that big conundrum between production departments and sales departments. I love interacting with salespeople. I want to pick the salesperson's brain because they're the ones that talked to the client.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get the information from the salesperson as to what the client is all about without me having to jump on the phone and talk to the client, then great. Then I know, okay, let's attack it like this. Let's attack it like this. Maybe we ought to go this direction. You know what? Straight ahead, good piece of script, good piece of music, and well read. It's going to kill it for you. And that's the interesting part because, well, for lack of a better word, it's a dance.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to figure out which works for that client. You helped me write these. A few years ago, we did this spot for a series of commercials. In fact, you were in them for Dogtown Pet Spa. And Dogtown Pet Spa, yeah. And,
okay, I remember, yeah.
Those were very Dick Orkin kind of spots. And they were a lot of fun. And it really caused a lot of commotion at the dog place. They loved it, and it brought in a lot of business. But how are you selling take your dog in to get groomed or take your dog in to be babysat or boarded or trained? And, you know.
Sure.
But they also had a good enough budget that they were going to be on for a couple, 3 or 4 months. They made that commitment. And when they made that commitment, it's like, okay, now we're not talking about a yell and sell for a stapler. We're talking about we're selling a concept of a business to somebody.
Right.
And that's the whole idea. You know, it's funny. We talk about influencers all the time, you know, how these influencers, I want to be an influencer. And what people don't realize as a production director and as a voiceover talent, you are an influencer. How many people actually hear you?
Without question.
You see what I'm saying?
Without question.
Yeah. Millions hear you. Your spots are heard constantly. Well, it depends on the size of the market. But yeah, if you've got, let's say you're in a market of 60,000 people and you've got, you know, at any given time, 8,000 people listening. Well, how many times do your commercial run?
Right.
Well, hello. Mm-hmm. And now you start doing that math. All of a sudden, everybody's heard it at one time or another. And so what you're doing when you make a commercial is you're influencing somebody. You know, you say, oh, I'm just going to run out and buy that right now. No, it's not the way it works. But the guy driving down the road, here's this spot for Joe Blow's furniture store, and they're having a couch sale this week, and the guy driving down the road happens to need a couch.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've caught him. And that's really what advertising is. It's about catching the person who needs the product you're selling.
Well, we've always talked about that here at Ben Maher as narrow casting as opposed to being a broadcaster. You're narrow casting that radio commercial.
Yeah.
And that's a brilliant, that's an absolutely brilliant point you brought up as far as being an influencer. I know this is a podcast, but I want you to underline it somewhere. Just go get a piece of paper to underline it. I don't just do however you want to do it. But just remember that because you are an influencer and you're not on TikTok, but you're doing what an influencer does, and you're doing it more powerfully than they're going to be able to do. So that's great.
And usually anonymously too. So.
Yeah,
a lot smaller paycheck.
That's the unfortunate part. But I want to move on to another aspect of this, and I want to move on to an area where we're looking at the glass, and instead of looking at it half empty or half full, we're now going to look at it from the top or from the bottom or from the side. My next question to open up to you is, how do you know when you've overproduced a spot? When does that little bell go off in your head when you're in the middle of something and you go, uh-oh, this, no, wait, hold it. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting question because it goes in both directions. Case in point, you've got imaging producers, guys who produce imaging. Imaging tends to get overproduced. Promos tend to get overproduced more than anything else on the planet. But commercials, on the other hand, now the question you have to ask is, okay, is it doing what it's supposed to do? Does it sound right? Does it sound good? Is it too busy? Do you get lost in it? If you get lost in it, it's overproduced. If it makes sense and it follows a line, then it's not necessarily overproduced. But we've had spots like, where I've got, tire screeching, dogs barking, babies crying, doors closing. And, oh, yeah, there's music in there, too. And then you've got three or four voices yakking back and forth and an announcer. But if it's done right and it's not done with 9 million words in a 60-second commercial or a 30 or a 15 or whatever it is, then odds are you're not going to overproduce it. But if you overwrite it, usually what happens there is now you're starting to turn, you're trying to make, crap and, look good.
Well, yeah, overwriting it is always, and it's always a danger because you do get into this mindset, you get, and like you talked about, when you get more creative flexibility from a salesperson and from a client, that just generates the juices. You sit down and go, okay, all right, let's see, we got to do this. Here's what I got to accomplish. And we're going to do this, we're going to do that, And what you put on paper isn't necessarily what you're going to hear as a finished product. It's just a weird, one of those weird, anomalies in the world of radio that it doesn't work that way. So it's a good point to understand that if it's a complicated spot, as long as you don't lose your focus, you're going to be okay. But if you start to get complicated and overwrite the spot.
Or innuendo.
That's when we start getting into a bad place.
Yeah, how many times have your phone rang and you heard me call up and go, hey, Mark, what did you mean by this? Oh, da-da-da-da-da. And
I went, every day?
Okay, great. And okay, that explains it. I might just take this part out and move that over there. Now, to me, it makes sense. And then from there, you move along. It's like I used to have this this interesting thing. I say, okay, well, send it off to the writers. Now, Mark was my writer for years. He's been writing for me for 100 years. And then I'll turn around and then someone say, well, I don't like that. I just, because they can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hear the words on the paper. But then if I look at it and I go, yeah, it looks good. But you know what? Let's take this line out and move that line to the bottom. Oh, that makes some, okay, there you go. And it makes it. So don't be afraid when you see a script, don't be afraid to move things around. A wonderful word, juxtapose. Move things around and maybe pull out this or pull out that, or add if it needs something. One of the things that gets me when conversational spots, when I hear them, and they're so stupid. First off, the person that's talking to you about Mary Bell's facelift company doesn't have the P&L on the company. So you don't know the person at the table talking her husband into using a service doesn't know everything about the company. But for some reason, people do that. They put it in. It's like, no, leave a little space for some uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, no. You're kidding me. You put that stuff, you leave that in there. You put that in there along with all the stuff. And now you've got a conversational spot. But if you're sitting here quoting their P&L, you got a problem. You're not going to sell it. It's not going to work. It's not going to make it attractive for anybody, one, to listen to, and two, to actually understand what you're selling, what you're pitching.
Well, as a 100-year-old man been writing commercials for a while, I just want to bring up the point. I agree with you.
That was one of the beautiful parts that when I was, knee-high to a turntable, I was listening to Dick Orkin, Bert Bertus spots and listening to their lectures about how they would write spots. Orkin and Bertus, when they wrote their conversations, never put a sell line in there.
No.
This was always a situation that either... And the thing about them is they'd always put you in a very either common situation or an absurd situation. And then that's exactly what they would do, a line, maybe two, and then the other guy or somebody else, you know, an ambient voice would come in. But the conversation flowed like it flows in normal life.
Yes.
You talk, I talk. You talk, I talk. You say something, I respond. You say, I say something, you respond. That's the way a conversation works. Now, and
we said it before in another podcast, it goes right back to let the narrator or the voiceover announcer do the selling and let the characters do the play.
Carry it.
Yeah.
Right. So let's move to the final question, because we do call this the 10-minute producer, not the 10-hour producer. So let's get to the final question, which is, in your opinion, and this is strictly opinion mixed with absolutely hundreds of thousands of brilliant work that you put out, what's the key to memorable spots? But making sure, again, where we started today, that they satisfy the needs of the client and, of course, of the radio station, i.e. the salesperson. What do you think of the key to making those memorable spots?
Witty repartee. No, I'll be honest with you. I think memorable spots kind of happen accidentally. And I think they happen after you toil and play with the words and oh, let's move this over here. Let's cut out that and put ya instead of you. Let's it's the little things that make a spot sit out. It's not, I mean, you can't, normally you just don't sit there and instantly set out to write a memorable spot. It doesn't work that way. But what happens is when it comes together, that's different. Now, if you've got a great story, you've got a great kick to it, you know, great characters in it. You've got the right kind of music, which is a lot. I hate. Can I say I hate? I freaking hate dry commercials.
I don't know if you've said that yet. Do you? But Vaughn, my question to you is,
I hate
them. You hate it?
Dry commercials. Commercials with no music or no sound behind them bother the crap out of me. And the reason it does is because to me, it's like there's so much more you can do with it. And so that's all part of making your spots memorable. And then, you know, you've got the other side of that where you go, you do the spot and you play it. And you know when I know a spot's memorable?
How's that?
When a jock runs into the room and says, I just played that spot you did from, you know, Ace Hardware. Oh, my, that was great. That, to me, says a whole lot because jocks don't tune in commercials.
Well, I was going to say that you'd have to pick me up off the floor 10 minutes later because I've lost consciousness. No, you know, when a jock comes in and does that, you're like, Fred, are you okay? Yeah. Are you hitting the mushrooms again? What's wrong with you?
I want what he's smoking.
Really? You got any more of it? Come on.
Yeah. So, but that's the whole key. It's really about put your best foot forward, do your best work, and if you think you can do it better, then do it better.
He's Vaughn Kaufman, and you can reach out to him directly at Vaughn@VaughnKaufman.com. I'm Mark Margulies of Ben Maw Radio. These podcasts are located on our website at Ben Maw Radio. That's one R, please, everybody. At Ben Maw Radio at, I'm sorry, what is my, BenMawRadio.net. That's my website. I don't call myself all the time. At any rate, we're going to be back again with another segment of the 10-Minute Producer, and who knows, maybe we'll attack what's funny about a radio commercial and how do you make it funny? You think we might attack that, Vaughn?
Sure. Let's go out and buy a couple sets of humor.
That sounds like a deal to me. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to the 10-Minute Producer.